Continue this morning in our series on encounters with Jesus, who, as we will sort of begin to explore, often used human circumstances and situations and needs to demonstrate who he was. He showed the Samaritan woman at the well last week that he was the Christ from whom springs the waters of eternal life. And when he healed this man born blind, so as we heard in that reading, he revealed himself to be the light of the world. What a moment for that poor blind man when he experienced our Lord's overwhelming compassion. There he was, burdened not only with his lifelong disability of blindness, but with the erroneous, harsh, cruel teaching of the Pharisees, who taught that terrible punishments would be inflicted on people because of the sin of their parents. And then along comes this rabbi Jesus, that's how he would have seen him then, who immediately kicks that belief into touch. To the question posed by the disciples, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned. Our Lord's compassion for that man and for his parents would have been in stark contrast to the years of condemnation inflicted upon them by the Pharisees and, of course, by the community influenced and taught by the Pharisees for a sin that they had not committed. For years, the man's parents would have carried guilt, in this case, false guilt, and the shadow of accusation. Likewise, their son would have wrestled with the anger and resentment against his parents for causing him to be so inflicted. What an awful burden. But Jesus deals with it. As we heard, he spat on the ground, made a paste with his saliva, spread it over the eyes of the man, and tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam. We don't need to worry about why he chose to do it that way. I've got my own theories on that. That's for another occasion. But the man's blindness was cured. Rather, it wasn't cured. It was given to him. He had never had sight. It wasn't restored. It was given to him. Our Lord dealt with the need, but also in the process of dealing with that need, in process of healing that man, he demonstrated his authority to be able to declare that neither this man nor his parents sinned. He demonstrated his authority and his credentials. And word, of course, quickly got around. Some people are incredulous, especially the Pharisees, at least to be fair, some of them. Not all the Pharisees. We assume Nicodemus was one of those who wasn't so sure about this. But we see how when God is mightily at work, and we should expect this, brothers and sisters, opposition is often stirred up. The anger and the sheer vindictiveness of the Pharisees, and I didn't want to spoil your day by reading it, having it read out, apart from that, I think it would take too long. The anger and the vindictiveness of them was quite extraordinary, beyond belief. Here was a man who had been blind from birth, but now could see. If ever there was a cause to praise God, a cause for a mighty celebration, a cause for having a wonderful party, this was it. But no. All they were concerned was with their professional pride, their precious theology, their doctrine about and rules about what could or could not be done on the Sabbath. I wonder if any of those Pharisees had ever prayed for this man and for his parents. Probably not. Their doctrine was of rules and judgment, and with that accusation and condemnation, and not the good news of freedom from sin, of forgiveness, of salvation, of recovery of sight for the blind, that our Lord came to bring. They simply could not see that this miracle was the work of God, that the kingdom of God had broken through into this man's life and family. They were dangerously, very dangerously, spiritually blind. Now, how do we think about that passage? How do we, might we relate this passage to our own lives and witness? And I'm sure that many here will be able to pick up points, but I've just picked out three. Now, whilst I'm absolutely sure that none of us here today is spiritually blind, if you were, you wouldn't be here. I suspect, if you're like me, we have our spiritual blind spots. I heard of someone from another church, actually it's my son's church, who recently said to him that she couldn't possibly worship God unless there is an organ. Now, I love the organ, and I love the music group, but for me it's not a blind spot whether we worship with an organ or with the keyboard or whatever. But for her, it was a blind spot. But I am aware that I have my own spiritual blind spots, or potentially spiritual blind spots, things that I hold dear, but which might be a blind spot. And I'm aware that I need to ask myself if there is anything that the Lord is doing when I'm concentrating on the blind spot that I'm not seeing. Because the whole point about a blind spot is, on the whole, you do see, but there's just some things you don't quite see. That picture from Sue Perry, as we said earlier, suggests that we can become so preoccupied, for example, with a task or with an issue in our lives or with a cherished belief or doctrine or whatever it might be, that we fail to see what the Lord actually is doing, not just with us, but in this church and beyond this church into Whitney. And I do wonder whether those agricultural images of the birds into the villages around Whitney. Now, the issue we have that might be becoming our blind spot might be very important and prompted by the Holy Spirit. But even if that issue begins to preoccupy us to the extent that it is a blockage in our prayer life, a blockage in our faith life, a blockage in our relationship with the Lord, then even if it is prompted by the Holy Spirit, then it is possibly becoming a blind spot and is in danger to some extent of becoming an idol, because it's our preoccupation and it means we can't pray easily and we can't think straightforwardly about matters. The Pharisees' doctrine, teaching and theology had become their idol, and their idolatry made them spiritually blind. They simply could not see God at work. And we need, I believe, to be on our guard against this. And I would suggest that perhaps one way, probably the only safe way to deal with such things, is to learn to surrender whatever it might be to the Lord, to give it up in prayer, to bring it to him privately or with others, to hand the issue over to him and let him resolve it. Blind spots, we move on. There are two other things I just want to draw out. Did you notice, or have you noticed or thought, that the fact our Lord never manipulated the situation to create a situation whereby he could show who he was? I don't think our Lord woke up every morning and said, oh, let me think now. I wonder if I can find a blind man today and I'll heal him to show that I'm the light of the world. Or I tell you what, I'll pop down to the Jacob's well and as soon as someone comes along and for some water, I'll talk to them about me being the water of life. No, he was thirsty and he needed water. And he came across this blind man. I don't suppose he woke up one morning and thought, I wonder if there's 5,000 people hanging around somewhere who will need a meal later on today. Who he was flowed from out of the way he was. Who he was flowed from the way he was. As he with compassion healed this man, so who he was, the light of the world, was revealed through the miracle. As he encountered people with different needs, the woman at the well, the 5,000 needing to be fed, the opportunity to teach about himself and who he was came through those encounters. He didn't have to deliberately contrive these situations. And I believe that this example teaches us to some extent, to be relaxed about our evangelistic activities. Now, we're not Jesus, but he does lead us by his Holy Spirit. And whilst there are times when we should be intentional about our faith and sharing our faith, inviting a person to Alpha is one example of that, much of the time our opportunities to share our faith should flow from our Christian witness and our normal everyday encounters with colleagues, friends, and others. They should so see the light of Christ in us, albeit in our case a blemished light of Christ, because we're human beings and we get things wrong, that nevertheless they're drawn to him. And then, of course, we should be intentional, because that's the moment to say, may I pray for you? That's the moment to say, would you like to come to an Alpha course? Because you've got to know them, and they've got to know you, and there is that relationship, and it flows out of that. The other thing to note, and this is what I should finish on, is that Jesus healed the man from his physical blindness, but didn't leave it at that. Later he went to find him and explained exactly who he was, and the man believed and worshipped him. The man needed not just his physical sight restored, but his spiritual sight to be restored as well. He needed to be brought to a place where he could put his faith in Jesus, the light of the world. We saw that last week with the woman at the well. She realized who he was. He taught her who he was. Realized he was the water of life. Now, we might find from time to time that people who aren't Christians ask us to pray for them, or we may offer to pray for such people. They've got an illness or something of that sort, or a family issue. May I suggest that we need also to be ready to take them further, having prayed for them. Gently guide them into a position where we can share the gospel with them. Now, depending on the circumstances, we may need to do this immediately, especially if someone's on their deathbed, or in steps. You know, we can do it gradually, relationally, but gradually, in this case, intention is important. Have that intention of talking about Jesus to them at an opportune moment. Or we may prayerfully have to entrust the next steps to other people, rather to God, and let him deal with it in his own way. But however it is done, this is an example, our Lord's example is that when we do intervene in his name in someone's life, don't just leave it there. Pray for their healing, but suggest them if you can. And what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Where are you spiritually? I can pray for your physical healing. What about your spiritual healing? So let us open our eyes to those blind spots. Let us open our eyes to those casual, relaxed opportunities to speak of him. And let us open eyes to taking people beyond simply praying for their healing or for their family life or whatever it might be.